What contributions are you going to make? What problems are you going to solve?
I intend to broadcast from the ship 24 hours a day until the day I die, and then for a couple of days after that.
I've always lived for the news and weather. Happy to die for them too, especially the weather.
Hello, I'm Adam Bradstreet.
And I'm Melina German.
And tonight you are listening to Blunt Youth Radio Show. We are going to be talking about tourism in Maine. Maine is known as vacation land, with beautiful outdoors, amazing food, and culture. Call in at 780-4909, 780-4909. We want to hear your tourist stories, especially if you're visiting Maine right now. Give us a call.
Tonight we're talking with Vanessa Pike, the membership director of Visit Portland, a local convention and visitors bureau. I did a bit of research on their website, visitportland.com, and recently learned that is what a CVB is. A nonprofit convention and visitors bureau is usually a membership-based organization bringing together businesses that rely on tourism and meetings for revenue. So, welcome, Vanessa.
Hello, thank you.
You are the membership director at Visit Portland. What does that entail?
Well, as Melina just said, it is a membership-based organization. So my job is to go out to the local businesses, primarily in the hospitality industry, and get them to participate and become part of our organization. So we can then go out with those resources and market the region for tourists, conventions, meetings, sports, events, etc. And as they show up, then we refer people back to those members that are supporting our efforts.
Thank you. Opening up, we want to ask, what brings people to Portland? What makes Portland the most attractive for tourism?
Well, that's a great question, and that depends on who it is and what they're coming for. I'd say lobster is a very popular activity, the art of eating lobster in the Portland region. The lighthouses are very attractive. Portland Headlight is the most photographed lighthouse in the country.
Yeah.
And there's Portland and the surrounding area is becoming very popular for a foodie destination. So the culinary scene is fantastic. And the arts and galleries and so forth. So there's a lot of attractions, a lot of outdoor activities. There's so much to do. It depends on what type of vacation you're looking for. We can probably match you up with exactly what you need.
Yeah. I noticed on your website there's a section dedicated to LGBT tourists. Do you think Maine's equal marriage law is affecting tourism?
I think it's opening doors, especially with the new marriage laws for the destination weddings. That's very popular these days. A lot of brides and grooms and couples are planning destination weddings and making a family reunion / vacation out of it. So that makes Portland even more attractive.
Building off that, have you noticed a growth in marriages since the law is passed? Because there's a whole page on your website dedicated to weddings.
Well, we target destination weddings, be it whatever type of couple that it is, and I think that's a growing trend altogether.
Drastically?
And, probably. I don't know the statistics of destination weddings exactly, but I know we are making a more aggressive effort to marketing the region. We're going to be going out to bridal shows for destination wedding shoppers and so forth. Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is it big business in general? Weddings is the big part of the tourism economy?
It contributes. What the weddings does is it brings the families and friends, and once people experience Maine, they often want to come back. So once we get those first-time visitors here, it increases the visitors from year to year thereafter.
Yeah. What could state, local governments be doing to improve Portland as a tourist destination? Like, what transportation changes could be helpful?
Well, the International Jet Port has recently contracted with Southwest, so we have that additional airlines. The Down Easter with the train has recently contracted to have some bike rentals right there. So I think that is a nice bonus that a lot of people might not be aware of. You can just take the train from Boston, come up and hop on a bike and get around town. So I think we're always thinking proactively about ways to get people here and make it convenient travel for them.
We just want to remind you to call in at 780-4909, 780-4909. We want to hear from our listeners.
Are there any specific states or places that you're trying to get tourists from specifically? As in, are you focusing on tourists from New England area or Canada or places all over?
Mm-hmm. That's a good question. Canadians make up a large part of Maine's tourism overall. And the New England, the southern New England states as well, we have a lot of drive-to. So if they're within a couple of hours, that's a nice target because it's easy for them to come up from Boston or even New York to get here. We also have, we concentrate on international tour operators. So we talk with people in Japan is a nice market now.
Also like worldwide?
Absolutely. Absolutely. International travelers tend to come. They stay longer. They cancel less. They spend more money. So that's always a good thing.
Yeah.
Also, we were wondering, with the attractive parts of Portland specifically, is history a huge part of that, since Portland does have a very rich history?
Yes. Yes.
Like the Historical Society and
the Maine Historical Society is a beautiful property. They have beautiful gardens in the back and a tremendous library. So there's a lot of history from Longfellow all throughout the city. We have a lot of tours. We have a fire engine tour that goes around and does the history about the fire into the fire museum, and the Portland Discovery Trolley Tours goes around. A lot of them will go and share all the history.
Yeah.
So would you consider that a large aspect of what brings tourists here? Like history, there's like history and food and architecture, but would you consider history a big part or a minor part?
I think it depends on what type of tourist is coming in and what they're looking for. I think we have a lot to offer, a variety of attractions and interest levels.
What kind of businesses are a part of the Portland economy?
Oh, well, the Portland tourism economy in particular, the hotels, restaurants, retailers that have shops, attractions. There's a lot of attractions on the waterfront, museums, gardens, you name it, the railways, transportation. Most everybody is affected by tourism. And we also have people that contribute to our organization that is not directly related to hospitality. They don't open up their door to visitors, but they provide products and services to all those hospitality businesses that we just talked about.
Yeah. Are there some types of businesses that you would particularly not want in Portland?
Not want to promote in particular, like gambling or something of that nature?
Well, we haven't really had to come across that issue. Again, I think it's all about the variety of what we have to offer.
I think that I want to ask if tourism is like really sensitive to economic changes, because to me personally, like just as a concept, it would seem like a relatively risky way to base your base the Maine economy on mostly tourism.
Well, we certainly do see an impact from economic times. When it's worse, then we don't get as long of stays. The trend seems to be shorter stays, but people still need to get away, and they still like to go out. And so even day trippers contribute to our economy. Even if they don't stay in an expensive hotel, they come and spend the day and go to the beach and buy a lobster roll and have a nice time and come back later when things are looking up.
Yeah. So do you think there is a big future for tourism?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and even when times are tough, people are still going out and experiencing the area. And we're seeing trends that each year, tourism, the numbers are going up and up over the last couple of years.
So you're definitely seeing it progress.
It is.
Cool. Let's see. Do you know how Portland ranks in Maine's vacation spots?
Yes, I believe I do. The state is divided into tourism regions, mm-hmm. and I believe the beaches area is the number one area that's yeah. visited, and then the Portland region is the second most popular area that's visited.
Yeah, I live in Old Orchard Beach, and there's a lot of people there during the summer.
So you see it firsthand, yes, yeah.
definitely. Do you have, as Visit Portland, do you have a target audience? Are you trying to get, family fun? Are you trying to get younger couples? Is there a specific audience, or is it for general?
Yes, yes, and yes. We target certain areas, so the leisure traveler, we target all of those. Family is very big for us for vacationing, but also couples. We also face our marketing efforts towards other segments, such as sporting events. That's a big market to get sporting events coming in, especially youth groups or tournaments of any sort. We market to motor coach, so we get motor coach operators that come up throughout the East Coast and come right through Maine and stop in Portland and go on up the coast or inland, whatever their itinerary is. We help them create those itineraries. We are part of a cruise consortium to bring the cruise ship passengers in, and the weddings we already discussed, and international markets. We have lots of different areas, conventions. We market to event planners, so they may be bringing in an association meeting or a family reunion or a corporate outing of some sort.
Yeah. So, sorry, one second. Sorry.
I wanted to ask about, is cruise ships a big part of this? Because I was just downtown last week around the Old Port and saw a lot of cruise ships, and I've been seeing that progress a lot. I mean, over the years of living here, I'm seeing mm-hmm. a larger number.
That's right, because we have worked proactively to bring those cruise ships in, and you'll see more and more as the season rolls on. A few of them come in starting in early June, and the bulk of them will show up in September and October. So you'll see a lot more cruise ship passenger and crew member activities.
So you were talking about with your weddings, you kind of having family reunions and stuff. So do you really have a target audience, or are you just trying to gear it to everyone?
Well, we focus our marketing efforts in those different areas that we talked about. So certainly, I mean, we have no preference for what type of wedding party comes in. We'd like them to come in. We'd like them to bring their families. We'd like them to do pre and post activities and go on lobster bakes and really just enjoy the area and make a vacation out of it.
Well, thank you. We're going to be talking next with Craig Ettinger in a minute, but not right now.
I want to ask about outdoors, as in I know a lot of people come to Portland and Maine in general as looking for the ocean and lobster and hiking, mm-hmm. but do you think that more recently there's a progression in tourists coming for the cultural part of it? Like, I know there's a lot of people come for artists and arts craftsmen and writers and things like that.
Well, we're seeing some more businesses pop up catering to that crowd. I think Maine has always been known for its natural beauty and taking advantage of the lakes and the oceans and so forth. We have new businesses right in the Old Port. We have Portland Paddle, so they'll rent paddle boards, either stand-up or kayak and so forth. There's another stand-up paddle shop, SoPo, stand-up paddle in South Portland. And so there's a lot of opportunities. There's some bicycle companies that will take you out on rides out to the lighthouses. So there's a lot of opportunity to experience Maine outside.
Yes, thank you very much. We're next going to be talking with Craig Ettinger, who is the chair for program in tourism and hospitality and a associate professor of anthropology at USM. Hello, Craig.
Hi, I'm here.
Hi, how are you doing?
Hey, Craig.
Good. Thank you for having me.
Yes, thank you. So what is the tourism and hospitality program?
Well, we're a brand new academic program at USM. We've been in place for about a year now, and our main feature is a new bachelor's degree in tourism and hospitality. It's an interdisciplinary degree, and we pull on courses from a number of different departments at USM, but it's really designed to give students a broad perspective on tourism as a field of study, and also to help prepare them for possible careers in the hospitality industry in Maine or even beyond. We have a lot of students who are interested in international travel and taking their work skills and using those in different environments. So, we've been in place for about a year. We've got about 40 students in the program right now, and it's growing.
Can I ask, how are tourism and hospitality different?
Well, normally when we talk about tourism, we're talking about kind of the act of travel and what drives people to visit different places and what they see and do when they're there. And hospitality is typically talked about as the services that are provided for people when they travel. Like Vanessa was mentioning earlier, the lodging, restaurants, transportation, and so forth. Typically, academic programs tend to be divided into those two areas. So you may have a tourism studies program that teaches about travel and the impacts of travel on the environment and different cultures and how they interact with tourists and so forth. And hospitality management tends to be done in schools of business or schools of hospitality management, and they offer specific training for working in the hotel industry or working in the restaurant industry and so forth. Our program actually combines the two. So rather than see those as two different things, we blend those so that students are getting some of the theory and some of the critical aspects to help understand tourism from that larger perspective, but they're also learning some of the skills that they need to work in the industry. So we think that makes our program fairly unique. There's not a lot of programs out there that really look at both sides of the issue.
Yeah. How do you feel about people owning beachfront properties?
How do I feel about them owning it in terms of like tourism businesses or individuals?
Tourism businesses, like private beaches and such.
Yeah, well, it's a difficult issue. I mean, coastal development is one of those issues that I think is really great to study, actually, from an academic perspective, because on the one hand, we know that that's one of the things that people really want to see and experience as tourists, whether they're at a resort in the Caribbean or here in Maine, is a beautiful, pristine beach. And that's where a lot of development, therefore, takes place in the tourism industry. But there are impacts of that, and it does have impacts on local communities. You know, it might prevent people from having access to an area that was used traditionally for clamming or something like that. And that happens all around the world, as a matter of fact. So that's one of the issues that we actually look at in a couple of our classes is coastal development and the impact that that has on local communities. We don't necessarily take sides on that issue, but we think it's very important for students to understand those kinds of issues.
Yeah, definitely. I also saw in your bio it says you're interested in indigenous communities and tourism development. So what's going on in Maine?
Well, that's a good question. I'm actually not too involved with the indigenous communities here in Maine who may be working on tourism development. Most of my work has been up in northern Canada, about 1,000 miles from here. And there you have very small communities that are relatively isolated by distance from the larger population centers, and yet they're places where people would like to visit to experience indigenous culture and to eat local foods and maybe to go out on the land with indigenous guides. So there are opportunities even in those kinds of small, isolated rural communities. And I think that's a model that actually a lot of people around the world tend to be following, for example, developing ecotourism, which is nature-based tourism but done in a sustainable way. And it's a model that could be applied here in Maine, even by non-native communities who may find themselves with many of the same situations, small populations, relatively isolated, but have great amenities that they have access to, like natural resources and pristine environments and things like that.
Yeah.
I also wanted to ask that on the USM website, there is a concentration on cultural, arts, and heritage tourism. Can you explain that in a little more detail?
Yeah, absolutely. What we did was we developed six concentrations that we think reflect not only what students might need to work in the industry, but also that reflect what some of the tourism opportunities are here in the state of Maine. So nature-based and ecotourism is one of the areas of concentration. And then the cultural arts and heritage concentration is directed by a new faculty member, Tracy Michaud Stutzman, who used to be the executive director of the Maine Craft Association. And she's very much interested in how people can use the cultural assets of their community to attract tourists and benefit the community as well. So, for example, that might be a museum. It might be a historical site, an archaeological site, even local arts and craftspeople. And you can use that to develop a part of a tourism economy. So, for example, the Friday night art walks in Portland or capitalizing on the fact that we have great museums and historical centers in the Portland area, and using that to, as part of the tourist economy. So it generates more revenue for those businesses and also helps protect them and preserve them as an asset for the entire community to enjoy.
Yeah, definitely. Do you believe Maine has a lot of nature free to the public in comparison to other states?
I don't know the numbers on that, but I would have to say, just looking at it from my own experience, that absolutely we do. And we know that people come to Maine for those natural resources and for those environments, whether it's hiking or winter sports activities or the coast. So, yeah, we are a prime location for those kinds of activities. That's one of the greatest things that attracts people to Maine, obviously. And one of the things that clearly needs to be protected, one of the concentrations that we have is sustainability in tourism and hospitality, and we're very interested in helping develop forms of tourism that protect the environment and preserve that for future generations. We know that's going to be critical to the success of tourism, not only here in Maine, but in many parts of the world as well.
Yeah.
We know that business definitely booms in summer for the tourist economy, but you were saying people come here for the nature. And do you think that there's also business in other seasons as well? Like people come here in winter for skiing, or what about fall and spring?
Sure. I was just looking at those statistics, and while it looks like about half of all visitors to Maine do come in the summer months, quite a few come in the fall and winter as well. I think that's one of the perennial problems in the tourism industry in many locations is the seasonality part and the fact that many of these businesses struggle to hang on in the off-season. I think it's wonderful the things that have been done by certain entrepreneurs like Jim Britt, for example, developing Maine Restaurant Week and the Convention and Visitors Bureau coming up with Harvest on the Harbor and things like that that really help prolong that season, extend that season into the fall and then through the winter and then early spring. As a way of keeping those businesses going, because we do know that many of the businesses find it difficult to keep going in those lean months.
Now, this is a question for Vanessa and Craig. How do you think tourism has changed through the years?
We've seen lots of
especially in Maine.
Well, Vanessa, would you like to say that first?
Well, I'll take a stab at what your reference to Harvest on the Harbor and the culinary scene that has been developed in the Portland area over the last several years anyway. The media has gone crazy with that event and all the restaurants and the fine chefs that are in the area. So that certainly is a draw, and we're getting a lot of foodies that come. Harvest on the Harbor is a four-day food and wine festival the end of October. As Craig said, as the typical tourist season is waning down, we bring in about 5,000 people over a four-day period. And it's about 60% local and about 40% out of state that come and, you know, stay in hotel rooms and go out to eat and go shopping. So that certainly in the culinary aspect has been a boom to the area.
We're going to have to stop you there, sorry. We're going to listen to a piece by Jules, a Blunt member who did a piece on walking around Portland and asking people what they think on tourism.
Great. I turned to Maine locals and tourists to see if tourism was a win-win experience for everyone.
I've lived on Peaks Island for 12 years. Living on Peaks, we get a huge amount of tourists in the summer, and all of a sudden business starts thriving. Little shops open up that were closed for the winter.
Do you think that tourism is good for Maine's economy, or particularly Portland's economy?
Most definitely. I think it's kind of what's made us what we are. We would be a tiny little town if it weren't for tourism.
Do you think that the relationship with the tourists and the residents will change over time, or that tourism in general will change in Portland?
I think it might grow, if anything. I mean, we seem to be getting warmer and warmer summers every year, so the beaches get more and more popular.
Do you ever have, like, problems with the tourists?
Sometimes. It's mostly just, like, they might be in my favorite spot. I want to go somewhere, but the beach is completely packed full and I can't really go there. It's just kind of overcrowding, really. There was a kind of, like, park place on the island last summer where the police wouldn't allow anyone in there after dark, because the tourists had been going in there and vandalizing stuff, flipping tables, and we got kicked out a couple of times for just hanging out. We weren't making any trouble or doing anything wrong, but they just couldn't allow people there. I think sometimes they think they own the place, sort of. They forget that there are people who actually live there year-round, and it's kind of just like, this is their place to come and have a vacation, and they don't really care about the other people there.
I lived here for 8 years.
Lived here my whole life.
2 years. Whole life.
So what about Portland attracts you to it?
The beaches and the nightlife.
All the people, you know, being out in the sunshine, walking around all the restaurants, getting to go, you know, to Peaks Island, that type of thing.
Job opportunities. Just like the natural beauty, like nature, just hiking, camping. About it.
What makes tourists stand out here in Portland?
Preppiness.
That, and they're usually asking directions.
Bad driving skills. Cameras, looking lost.
I fish out of Portland. I live in Bridgeton. Bridgeton's up by Sugarloaf. And
how has tourism affected you as a former fisher?
It hasn't affected us yet, but I heard that they want to close Reedy Lobster down, and that would affect us greatly, because Reedy's Lobster Pound helps the fishermen out a lot. They help with the price and cost and shipping and everything. If we didn't have Reedy's Lobster here in Portland, Maine, it would be a great loss to the fishermen.
And why are they shut? Did you know why they're shutting down Reedy's Lobster Point?
They want to close it down for the pier for the cruise ships.
For the cruise ships that come in, and usually these cruise ships are from people who are at, you know, of course, out of state.
Oh yeah, from everywhere. But it's awesome to have them here, because when they come in, they love to buy stuff here, locally made crafts and arts. It's great to have them coming in and visiting.
Well, we actually just got here a couple hours ago, and we're staying for the rest of the day and tomorrow.
Have you gotten to interact with any of the residents here?
We have, actually. Everybody's been very nice and welcoming.
So what attracted you to coming here to Portland, Maine?
Portland is just a place we've always wanted to see. We like being by the water, and of course we wanted to try the world-famous lobster.
Do you have any restaurants in mind that you wanted to check out?
There's a place we keep hearing about in Two Lights called the Lobster Shack, so we will be there tomorrow.
We've only been here about 4 hours, but everything has been very, very good so far.
So far, we've only been to Jay's Oyster, so we're going sailboat, going on a sailboat.
Audience, do these interviews sound true? Do they relate to your experiences? Call in and tell us. For Blunt Youth Radio, this is Jules Fennard.
So that was a piece by Jules Fennard, talking to tourists and tourists. You are listening to Blunt Youth Radio. Feel free to. We'll be right back. Going to the break.
Last night I couldn't sleep. Oh, you know it sure is hard to leave here, Carrie, but it's really not my home. My fingernails are filthy. I've got beach tar on my feet. And I miss my clean white linen and my fancy French cologne. Oh, Carrie, get out your cape.
Carrie, get out your cape.
And put on some silk.
these freaks and these soldiers around for these friends of mine. Let's have another round for the bright red devil who keeps me in this tourist town. Come on, Carrie, get out your cane. And rent me a grand piano and put some flowers round my room. But let's not talk about Betty Wells now. The night is a starry dawn. And they're playing that scratchy rock and roll beneath the maple moon. Come on, Carrie, get out your cane. I couldn't sleep. Oh, you know it sure is hard to leave you, but it's really not my home. Maybe it's been too long a time since I was scrambling down in the street. Now they got me used to that clean white linen and that fancy French cologne. Oh, Carrie, get out your cane.
And now, the weather. This afternoon, mostly cloudy with a chance of showers, with a light chance of thunderstorms. Some thunderstorms may produce gusty winds and small hail. Highs in the mid-70s, south winds around 10 miles per hour, chance of rain 40%. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a chance of showers in the evening, lows in the upper 50s, south winds around 10 miles per hour in the evening, becoming light and variable, chance of rain 30%. Tuesday, partly sunny, highs in the upper 70s, northwest winds around 10 miles per hour, becoming west in the afternoon. Tuesday night, mostly clear, lows in the upper 50s, southwest winds around 10 miles per hour in the evening, becoming light and variable. And Wednesday, mostly sunny, highs in the upper 70s, light and variable winds. Going to be a good beach day, folks.
Just a legal idea. WMPG and W282AC. 281AC Gorham, Portland.
Hello?
Okay.
Hi. Are you here?
Okay. We are talking with Craig Ettinger and Veronica Pike, and now we are going Vanessa Pike, sorry. And next, we are going to be talking with Karen Arell. She is the executive chamber director for Gunquit. Hello? Karen? Sorry. Okay, she is not right here right now, but okay. Craig, are you here?
I am.
Okay.
Hi there.
Let's see.
You still on?
Yes. Okay. You are a professor of anthropology, so how does that fit into tourism?
Oh, good question. A lot of anthropologists actually study tourism, and it's a funny thing because in the past, anthropologists were bothered by tourists, just as some of the people in your piece were bothered by tourists. They saw them as kind of, you know, pests who interfered with the work they were trying to do and impacted the communities that they were visiting in negative ways. But over the years, anthropologists have realized that tourism is a really fascinating and important subject to study. It's one of the world's largest industries, you know, just as it is one of the largest industries here in Maine. But it's unique because it also brings people of different cultures together in contact with one another. So it's this tremendous force for cultural change throughout the world, from tiny communities to large cities. And that's one of the reasons anthropologists like myself like to study it, because there's a lot going on there and a lot that we can study. Tourism really has the power to transform, and that's one of the things that we're actually promoting in our program is to look at the negative impacts that it can have, but to also teach and understand the positive things that tourism can do in the world. So we're talking to students, for example, about voluntourism, which is a form of tourism where people travel to places and participate in the local economy or contribute in some way as part of a service learning project. We're actually developing, hoping to develop a course for over the winter to take students down to the Yucatan Peninsula in Mexico, and to travel everywhere from Cancun, where the resorts have been developed, down to small villages, and then participate in a beach cleanup project in a village called Mahual. We're doing this in collaboration with the Biodiversity Research Institute in Gorm and a fellow there named Bruce Rinker. And students will have the opportunity to actually participate by cleaning up all this marine plastic that washes up on the beaches there. So they really engage and participate and try to make better the world that they tour and visit, and not just be gawkers and people who feel that they have a right to go around the world and kind of interfere with people's lives, but rather that they want to play an active role in making the world a better place. So as an anthropologist, I'm interested in those kinds of cultural transformations, and I see tourism as just a really rich subject to study.
Yeah. Sorry. So now we have Karen Arell, who is the Executive Chamber Director for Gunquit. Hello, Karen.
Hi, how are you?
Great, how are you?
I'm good. What can I do for you, all of you?
Okay, so what do you think Maine offers that other states may not?
Well, I think, number one, Maine offers over 600 miles of coastline.
Yeah.
there are, you know, we run from Kittery, York, all the way up beyond Portland and beyond up in the Lubeck area and beyond that. you know, and just in the South Coast, I think there's over 30 miles of waterfront and beach area. And I think that that's a huge draw. I also think that we don't necessarily have the commercialism that a lot of other states have. And people want to have that pristine, clean beaches, which is what we have. We also have the nightlife, of course. We've got theaters. We have a lot of things that are going on. You know, I'm more familiar with the South Coast up to the Portland area, but I've been to the Camden and the Booth Bay and areas such as that. But again, I think it's more that people want the safety that Maine has to offer, and they want the pristine beaches. That again, and I just heard somebody talking about beach cleanup. I know that each year there are beach cleanups all along the coast where volunteers get together and do cleanup. I know that some of the beaches in Maine are looking to be smoke-free.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I know that down in the Agunquit area, that's what we have. You know, and there are the other thing that we offer is jobs. We have jobs. We pull people in from overseas. We also have a lot of people that work. Some will work on the coast in the summer, and they'll go to the mountains in the winter.
Yeah.
You know, and again, it's good quality jobs with a good pay attached to it. And in some cases, if you're year round, there are benefits that are paid. And the other thing is, you know, they talk about the quality of life in Maine. There definitely is. It's different here. I think people are a little more laid back. A lot of people in Maine moved here because they chose to move here. They weren't dropped necessarily by a company. And they're glad to be here, so they want other people to be happy. And they go out of their way in many instances to make sure that their experience here is memorable. And they'll go home and they'll talk to other people about it. I'll give you an example. There was an article in the Newsday down in New York City and on the island, and I had a phone call from someone this morning, and they had read the article, and it highlighted Portland, Agunquit, and Sebago Lake.
Yeah.
And she said to me, oh, I haven't been to Maine in years. reading that article made me want to come back, and I talked to her a little bit about here. I offered to send her the book, and then she had mentioned that Portland was mentioned in the article, and I said, well, you know what, we have a Portland guide. I'll be happy to pop that in. to the packet. And then in addition to that, I said, I don't have one on Sebago, but I'll be more than happy to call their chamber and we'll send you a guide. And she kept saying, you would do that for me? You would do that for me? I mean, the woman was very surprised to the extent that I was willing to go for her. But it's what we do on a day-to-day basis. When somebody calls, we want them to know that we're glad that they're coming, and what can we do to make their experience, again, the word I used earlier, memorable.
Yeah. I wanted to ask, you mentioned before people enjoy the scenery and stuff like that, but you also mentioned people enjoy the safety of Portland. Mm-hmm. Could you explain that a little bit?
Well, I you know, I'm more familiar, again, with the Ogunquit, Kennebunk,
yeah,
York area. And when you look at the fact that, you know, there's a presence of, you know, we see the summer policemen that they have and the year-round policemen. They're around. They're accessible. They, I know, especially in Ogunquit, the police department understands the importance of tourism. And what they try to do is make the visitors feel welcome and answer questions. I know in our case, we're looking to be more of a bike-friendly community, and
yep.
So we're putting up signs. We had a lot of bike racks that were built last year. We even had a little contest. Even the police department joined in and had a bike rack that looks like a jail cell, so the opening to a jail cell. But they said, well, it fits who we are. So, but again, they're around. They want people to know you can stop if you have any questions. But they try to keep, especially our area, again, it goes back to what I'm most familiar with, to be for people to feel safe here. When they're coming from the bigger cities, you know, they're what are they leaving behind? And they come here and they want to know that they can walk around. And I mean, I was in the post office today and there was a woman, and I saw this pocketbook, and I said to the person behind the desk, I said, oh, somebody left their purse. And the woman said, oh, no, it's mine. And she wasn't right next to her pocketbook. She was over by the door filling out some paperwork. And I said, you know, you should be kind of near your purses. Oh, it's Ogunquit. I'm not worried about it. But so it was like, no, at least put it on your shoulder. I have it next to you. I found a wallet I was at a grocery store, and I found a wallet in the carriage outside. I brought the wallet back in. I mean, this is what people do here. They tend to say, wow, if that were me, how would I want to be treated? Oh, I better return this wallet, or I better return this money I found, or whatever the thing may be. But again, it's watching out. If someone sees someone broken down, you know, they'll stop and say, can I help you? You know, it's probably the way we were brought up. It harkens back to the, you know, like almost like Mayberry RFD kind of thing. That
yeah.
there's something about that. People helping neighbors, people watching each other on the streets, making sure that people are safe. And again, in our area, we have a lot of policemen that are on their bicycles in the summer. And what's more friendly than to see a policeman, you know, waving or smiling and welcome, we're glad you're here.
Yeah.
And I know in Ogunquit, the police department is trained in that. They know the importance of tourism, and they meet with the business community to see, is there something we're missing? I mean, we just had fireworks July 4th, and we had the public works department, we had the police department, and we had the fire department around where the fireworks were being, you know, whatever you call it, exploded, or however you say it. And again, they were there to be a presence to keep people safe, but at the same time, can I help you? Is there something I can do for you? What do you need?
And
you know, we grew up knowing the policemen were our friends, and if you had a question, go ask a policeman. You know, there was that safety part of it. And so I see that, especially in Southern Maine, where I live and work, that, you know, there's something comforting to know that they're there, and they'll answer questions if we have them, and they care about the community. We have a town manager that, if he gets an email about something tourism-related, he sends it off to me right away. If I get something that I need to have him answer, he sends it off. Today we were on a conference call together because somebody wanted to talk to us about tourism and the tax rate and other things about having a business in Ogunquit. We took that call together, you know, and that was kind of fun. So for 20 minutes we were on a phone call with a business that may want to do something. So again, it's more, you know, working in conjunction with each other, making the community safe, making them, again, go back to memorable. We want you to have a great vacation so that you'll tell other people and you'll come back.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think that's a big part of Maine is the
people
knowing everybody and I think it's mostly because of how rural it is, but it definitely, it's close-knit communities.
Mm-hmm.
So do you think tourism, especially in your town, is beneficial to Maine's economy?
Absolutely. Tourism as an industry is, I believe, either the number one or number two industry in the state. They pay very good wages in comparison to some other, businesses that, and they employ a lot of people. Because, you look at any business that's tourism-related, you look at, you've got housekeepers, you've got, people behind the front desk if you're in the accommodations end of it. You've got the people that are taking the phone calls. If you have a pool, you have the people taking care of the pool. You have the maintenance people. You have the grounds people. You go into a restaurant, you've got the wait staff, you've got the bus people, you have the chefs in the kitchen, you have the maitre d', you have the owner. I think the other thing about Maine is a lot of times the owner's in the store, so to speak. You walk into a retail store in the Ogunquit or South Coast area, and a lot of times the owner's behind the desk. You walk into some of the smaller mom-and-pop B&Bs and small motels, the owner is there. They'll say, well, I want to speak to a manager. Well, I'm the owner. How can I help you? And they're like, you're the owner? They're surprised. The owner might be out doing the gardening one minute and taking your reservation the next. So again, it has that small town feel to it. I think the other thing is, like, you take a bed and breakfast, and they're putting out full breakfasts in some instances. And I mean, we're finding more and more people are leaving the corporate world.
Yeah.
And going into tourism. I just met two men today that are buying a B&B in Ogunquit.
And
they were, again, corporate from Indianapolis in Indiana.
Yeah.
And they're moving to Maine.
So this is a question for everybody. So do you guys think, like, tourism is a reliable economy? Like,
because I personally could consider it risky. Can we start with Vanessa Pike?
Well, risking in that, let's see, there last year from the Maine Office of Tourism, we have over $7.5 billion of sales related to tourism. And
Jeez.
As Karen was talking about jobs, there's almost 86,000 jobs annually supported by tourism. So the risk might be that it fluctuates slightly from year to year. But again, we're seeing a continued growth, and I think that it's just going to continue onward. And as Karen was describing, and Craig, the interest in the culture and the beauty and all the activities and things to do in Maine, I think it's a sure thing.
Yeah, this is Craig. There's certainly variability in tourism, as Vanessa was saying, and that is a risk. But I don't know what's riskier. I mean, to have an economy that's based in part on tourism, or one that is perhaps based on manufacturing or call centers or something, where one employer can decide to leave and several hundred jobs are lost, immediately. One thing that people can do in the tourism economy, and they often do, is to mix what they do, to mix their employment so that they have things that they can fall back on, or create their own job, like that B&B owner that was just mentioned, so that there are other things that they can do to get by in the kind of lean times. And people have adjusted to the fact that tourism is seasonal and that there are variabilities related to the price of gas and the weather and things like that. So I think it's more resilient than a lot of other parts of the economy that we can't control.
Yeah.
I think the other thing, I used to be in commercial real estate, I would say a lifetime ago, and I sold bed and breakfasts and I sold small motels. And I used to say to people, when you're looking at buying a property, you have to consider, what if it rains every weekend in the summer? And you need to put enough money away to cover you if that's what you run into. And I think that's one of the things that we see, is that people do tend to put away money there. I mean, I know one property that was purchased about 3 or 4 years ago, and every year the owner works on one or two rooms every year, and I forgot how many rooms the property is, but he said, you know what, I could take out a loan and I could redo the whole thing, and then all the rates would go up on the rooms. I would rather turn around and put part of my profit in, putting some money aside, but again, putting that profit in so that I can do these rooms without adjusting the rates up And they've had people, again, it's a property that have been around for a number of years, and I met a couple the other day that's been coming there for 17 years. And they said, you know, we'll probably come in another 10, 15 years, so you've got 10 or 15 years to redo the room that we always stay in. And they appreciated the fact that the owner was doing a couple rooms each year until the whole property was done. Of course, then you'll have to start all over again. But, again, they look at putting away money, and so it's...
I've got to stop you there. Yeah. We're going to be listening to... Oh, sorry. Keep going. Sorry. Mess up.
Oh, all right. But again, it's putting away, I don't want to say money for a rainy day, but at the same time, putting some away. The other thing that you find, especially in, I know, the South Coast, is that the people in the tourism business are asked by a lot of the nonprofit organizations to give. And they're probably the most supportive.
Excuse me. I think we're going to need to stop you there. I'm really sorry.
Okay.
We're going to be playing Olivia's piece now. Yeah, here you go. Sorry. Technical difficulties. So... Just one second.
This piece of Old Orchard Beach, Maine. I know the tourist season well. It starts Memorial Day. The faces of the people lined up on the sides of the roads watching the local parade are not all familiar. By July 4th, a run to the grocery store takes over an hour. You can no longer park your car in front of your home, and the sounds of fireworks and screams from the downtown roller coaster ring out at all hours. By early August, you've adjusted to the neighbors' 3 a.m. karaoke parties, but you're anticipating the slowness of September. I wanted to know what tourists and residents alike thought about these experiences. So I walked to downtown Old Orchard Beach and asked a few strangers these questions.
Are you a tourist or are you a resident?
We're tourists. Tourists, yeah.
So where are you from?
We're from Connecticut.
Yep.
Both of us.
Yeah. And how long are you visiting?
For the next week.
Do you think you're welcomed as a tourist in Maine?
Absolutely. I've been coming here for the past, like, since I was, like, 2. So we come here every year and we love it, so.
Is there a specific area that you like to visit most in Old Orchard Beach?
I like the beach, but... I like the amusement park. I'm not gonna lie.
All right. Thank you very much.
I'm from Newton, New Hampshire.
So, how has your experience been here in OOB as a tourist?
Great. We've been coming up here my parents have been coming up longer, but it's my 14th year. Come up every year.
So this is definitely a tradition?
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite place here?
I just like the amusement park in the center.
Do you think your experiences with residents has been good or bad?
Good.
Great. Thank you for answering a few questions.
We're from Boston, so no, we're not from here.
How has your experience been as a tourist here?
I like it. It's nice. I enjoy it.
Have your experiences with residents been good?
A decent amount, yes.
Any bad experiences?
There's some people who are a little rude, but I mean, that's okay.
There's actually a lot of rude people. I don't know. I feel like they all speak different languages, though. I feel like that's why.
So maybe not residents, but all the other tourists.
Yeah, that's probably the main people are nice.
Yeah, probably.
All right, thank you very much.
Have a good day.
You too.
I stay Quebec.
So you're a tourist then?
Tourist. I like to come here because the beautiful place and. I like.
So you've had a good experience?
Good experience. Each year.
Each year.
Many years we go here.
I'm from Florida.
What have your experiences been like visiting OOB?
It has very cold water. It is freezing, but it is actually a lot of fun here at the beach.
I'm a resident.
And how long have you lived here?
About 2 years.
And how has your experience been with tourists?
Very good. No problems with tourists. I try to help them as much as I can.
Do you think they often need help in this area?
Yeah, they usually need help. They don't know where the good food is and, you know, different things, so I try to help them.
Now, did you start as a tourist to this area?
Yes, I did.
And that's what made you decide to...
Yeah.
live here?
I work at Bailey's Camping Resort, and we have a lot of people from all over, not just Canada, but we have a lot of other New Englanders, like a lot of people from Vermont and stuff, and they all really like Maine, so anytime that they say that it's been a good experience, it seems like a good experience to me, so.
I work at Splashtown, so yeah, I get a lot of tourists.
So what has your experience been with tourists in this area?
Lots of Canadians. Lots and lots of Canadians and really slow people from Florida.
Has this been a good or bad experience?
All tourist experiences are bad experiences.
And where are you from?
Newfoundland.
Newfoundland. So, how has your experience been of 24 hours?
So far, so good. It's been excellent.
That's great. Have the residents been friendly?
Very.
So it sounds like a good experience.
Reporting for Blunt Youth Radio, this is Olivia Bradstreet.
So that was a piece by Olivia Bradstreet on talking to tourism in Old Orchard Beach. We just wanted to thank all our guests in... Oh, okay. Okay, so we want to ask our guests... Okay, for all of you, do you have a place you like to go to in Maine?
Specifically.
Well, this is Craig. My wife and I love to go up to the Stone Mountain Arts Center up in Brownfield, Maine, one of the best performing arts venues anywhere in the state, and just a wonderful, wonderful experience.
This is Vanessa, and so many beautiful places, but I'm going to pick today Booth Bay Harbor.
Cool. Karen, are you there?
I'm here, and I have to tell you, I love Ogunquit. You know, I may be the president of the chamber, but I also, one of the things that I enjoy, in Southern Maine especially, we have several theaters. We have the Arundel Barn Playhouse that's in Arundel, outside of Kennebunk. We have Hackam Attack, which is in the Berwicks, and we have the Ogunquit Playhouse. And I love theater. I love that it's right here at my fingertips, so to speak, and the quality of the productions. So for me, an evening out at the theater is top-notch.
So following that piece, do you think that people come to your town year after year, or is it their first time visiting Maine mostly?
We have both. And we average about 30, 35,000 people that go through our office every year. And a lot of them are first-time visitors. But I know from talking with my accommodations and the restaurants that we have a lot of repeat people. And what I hear from people when they come is, I'm coming back. I'm telling my friends. I mean, we have a video. It's a Marginal Way DVD that, especially if I've got people coming in from the Midwest, I try to make sure, here, take a copy of this home. Show people what you saw. Not very often you can walk into a chamber of commerce and walk out with something complimentary. But again, it's more about making people feel welcome, and we want them to come back. And we have people that come every year just for the Playhouse. Again, I go back to the quality of the productions that we have here. I mean, Clay Aiken is going to be starring in Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor. And that's happening starting this week. And when they announced that it was Clay Aiken, they sold 1,500 tickets just because it was him. And also all the accommodations got on board and said, you can stay with us when you go to the Playhouse. So it was all over Facebook. It was just hilarious. But, again, it's more that there's something to do, whether it's in Portland in the nightlife. All over the state.
Have to wrap it up. I just want to thank all our guests very much. Karen Arell.
Vanessa Pike.
And Craig Ettinger.
Thank you.
Great having
you
on.
Welcome.
Thank you.